You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello. It is a pleasure to be with you. Because when we look at you, we see a group of masters, masters of thought, masters of thinking differently, masters of attraction, masters of understanding. You come in at a very high level. You're arrived on this day at a very high level, higher than ever before, vibrationally speaking. And so it's with joy that we really want to get to the crux of what you're looking for so that we can explain it to you in a way that you haven't thought of before and show you a perspective that is completely new. It's coming from a very deep place, a very new place. It's new information. And as you have been practicing or playing with the new approach to life of allowing, of accepting, the new approach of love, the new approach that is the basis of this reality. You have been seeing how the old approach did not serve you, the old approach of control. And yet, even as you play in the new approach, you are still planted in the old approach of control. And so even your very idea of being here now partly is due to control, controlling your future, controlling your past, controlling your perception, controlling what you will take in, taking in the good and leaving out the bad, as if there was good and bad, as if that was a real thing. And as we embark on this higher level understanding of the new approach, we are dismissing the idea of good and bad, because in the good is control, and in the bad is control. And what we are saying is, let go of all control, of complete control, and think about where control exists in your lives now. And without the control, you enter a state of acceptance. And in that state of acceptance is the state of love. And in that state of love and acceptance, you are happy with everything that is, happy with everything that was in the past, and equally happy with everything that will be in the future. And this is the point of this, that the worry of the future, the doubt of the future, the lack of faith in your own future is an attempt to control your future. And as you put yourself in your future, you distract yourself from your present. And in the present, if you can accept what is now, what will be, and what has been in the past, if you can accept all of that, you can let go of any of this worry, of doubt, of even the desires you think you want. Because in those desires that you think you want, in the things you think you want, because you think in having them of them will make you feel better, that is a control to feel better in the future, even the desires that you think you want. And so we say, if you can even give up those desires for what you think you want and exist in a state of bliss and acceptance in the moment, this moment, right now, knowing that the future will be taken care of if you can accept this moment now, in a state of complete non-resistance, in the wishing of things to come true in the future, you are trying to control how you're going to be in the future. Does that make sense to you? This is a new idea now. In the intentions that you set forth prior to your birth, the intention to express love and acceptance, the intention to experience freedom and abundance, the intention to expand in joy. In those intentions are your true desires. And without any thought other than the acceptance of what's happening in the moment, those true desires, plus all the most elegant manifestations of anything you also desire that is true, that is aligned with who you are, all of those things will naturally manifest in the most magnificent and elegant ways that beyond anything you could ever imagine. And so in the hoping that things will turn out, in the wishing for things that you want, in the thinking that something bad happened in the past, in the worry about the future, it's all a story of control. And we say, if you can ease up on that and allow your intentions to naturally manifest in your life, as they would had you lived in a natural world, free from the fears that dominate your society as it is now. So what does that mean? How does that play out? How does this new approach to life play out? It means that you are aware of what you're doing. You are aware of the times when you are exercising control, when you're asking someone to be a bit different, when you're wishing that things were different, when you're hoping that this happens, in the hope that something specific happens, you're saying, when that happens, I'll feel good. When that happens, then I'll feel joy. When that happens, it will prove to me that my interest in these laws of the universe are actually working. Even your interest in the universal laws is a form of control. And we're not saying that anything is wrong with that. It is all wonderful. We're saying, if you can ease up on the control, then you can allow the universe to do its job. And the universe is always going to bring forth manifestations that are intended to bring you the very feeling that will make you giddy with joy. Because you are here to experience joy. You are here to experience abundance. You are here to experience freedom. And you place limits on all of that by your control of the conditions. Very few people can understand where we're talking from here. This is a concept that very few people will get. That those of you who can even begin to imagine this concept of giving up all control and allowing the universe to work for you, well, you will exist in a higher plane of consciousness. And so with that, we would like to talk about anything that interests you.
I actually have a question around this, Joshua. So we're taught to imagine your future, or imagine the future, or wish for the future, or make a birthday wish or a Christmas wish, right? It's so ingrained in us. And where does imagination fall into place? Is that also a form of control?
We will say that if you are playing with the game of imagination without any attachment to it actually happening, then that is fine. But if you are imagining things so that you can manifest those things, so that you can feel good when they happen, so that you can control the conditions, so that the conditions make you feel good. Do you see what you're doing here? You want conditions to make you feel good instead of feeling good. And in the acceptance of what is, you feel good. You say, in the complete and utter faith that you will be drawn towards that which is more magnificent than you can imagine, you can bring everything into this present moment, enjoy whatever you're doing without any attachment to how things should be. And so, if something occurs for you in the moment, if some event happens, if a manifestation event comes to you, you will be so tuned to the moment, so focused on accepting whatever it is, that you will adopt the perspective that the manifestation event is intended for you to adopt, that you will easily process the limiting beliefs that comes up if it does. And you will just glide over the water easily towards where you want to go. Now, when we say where you want to go, we're saying the wiser, larger part of you set intentions prior to your birth. In those intentions is everything you want to explore in this lifetime. In those intentions, everything you want to do in this lifetime. In those intentions, everything can come forth. Now, everyone who lives in physical reality is going to feel fear and going to resist it. But the dominant intention of most humans is to control conditions so they can avoid negative emotion. And we say to you, the dominant intention that you can set forth from this point on is to accept everything as it is in love and alignment with who you are, knowing that you know more about how the universe works, knowing that you're taken care of, knowing that you're eternal, knowing that this life is but a blip. But imagine if you could, at this point in your lives, shift from the old approach to life to the new approach to life, shift from resistance to acceptance, shift from struggle, struggle, struggle to manifest, 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 manifest. Shift from having to set goals to create manifestations that you think will please you to allowing the universe to get you on this course towards manifesting things you didn't even know you wanted, right? Because you set yourself up in this life so that you would be launched on a trajectory, and this trajectory led you here. You're here for a reason. And now that you're here, those of you who are on this call and those of you who are listening to this call later, those of you who made it here are ready to step into an exquisite life. And that is the intention you set. So you're here not just for yourself, not just for the glory and the beauty of creating this life through acceptance of what is, through faith in the universe is going to lead you step by step by step, and that you'll take those steps to manifest this exquisite life, but to be an example to others. What's waiting for you on the other side of this acceptance is beyond what you could imagine right now. Just like what was beyond what Gary could imagine 5 years ago. If you knew what it was, you wouldn't be ready for it. That's why when you hope for things, it's based on this limited perspective of the person that you are now, and not the perspective of the vastly expanded person that you could be if you gave up resistance to what is. And if you keep bringing up your limitations, yes, well, I can't because of this. Yes, well, I can't because of that. I can't because of this and I can't because of that are based in limiting beliefs, as you well know. You can. If you get the inspiration, you can. If you get the inspiration, you can. If you get a fear that comes up with it, you can process that limiting belief. You can do all these things. You can move forward. But if you resist, it'll slow down the process. If you step into the state of acceptance, of pure acceptance, of detaching yourself from anything, including what you think you want. And just know that in this position of love and acceptance, you must receive a reality that matches how you're being. See, in resistance, you must receive a reality that brings up some bumps and some manifestation events. Because the manifestations are there to point out your resistance. In a life of no resistance, then you just step from one magnificent manifestation that matches who you're being to another one. That is the new approach to life that we're talking of.
And that means, like, you don't have to wish for the future. You don't have to think about the future because you're going to be at a different vibration anyways.
The only reason you think about the future is to control the future. You think, I want to do this. That means I have to do this in order to get that. That means I have to be like this. I have to wake up at this time. I have to study this. I have to get this degree. I have to get this friend. I have to make this sure this person likes me. I have to make sure that step one leads to step two in my mind. But that is creating from a limited compared to the more expanded version of you, right? Now, since the universe knows who you are now, who you were when you're born, and who you will be at the most expanded version of you, Why not let the universe take you there? Now, if you think you know how to get there and something pops up to show you a limiting belief, you might say, oh no, it doesn't look like I'm getting there. I better do this and this and this. I better act on urges to control even more of the situation.
Yeah, because everything really is for you, even like the things that feel very random. And it was interesting because my guides were talking to me about this. And they were like, so I knew, like when I was pregnant, I knew like the developmental stages of Madeline Zimmerman, like a crazy amount, like when her cells were dividing and latching and when her toenails were growing, all of it, right? And they, well, did that really do you any good other than giving you security, you know? Because I was like, if anything went awry, I knew exactly where she was in development. And I said, well, other than security, I guess it was kind of fun for me to know the human body being developed. I guess it really didn't matter until that moment I held her in my arms. None of it mattered. None of that knowledge mattered. None of it.
Right. Yes. And the feeling that you had when you held her in your arms matched the feeling that you were cultivating all the way through without really realizing it. You didn't have to say to yourself, oh, I better be like this so I can have this feeling. Oh, I better be like this so I can have this feeling. You were cultivating that feeling in every stage of the pregnancy. Oh, I'm enjoying my day to day. Oh, I'm having a little craving for this today. Oh, I'm feeling a little sick today. All of that. What? And as you're saying, this is part of this gestation process. Mm-hmm. All of it is part of this process. And so when you might have not felt so well, you will say, that's part of this gestation process. That is what I'm bringing to this new life. And so in that regard, there was less resistance to it.
Yeah.
There was no, I wish this didn't happen. I wish this baby would come right now. I wish it would be over with. That wasn't part of it because you knew the timing of it. You knew the stages of it.
Yes.
You knew what was on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And so you didn't have to say, well, today I'm going to focus on growing the toenails.
Right.
That wouldn't have made any sense. But you might say, today I have to focus on calling 15 people or on doing this, things that you're not inspired to do. Now, if you're inspired to do that, that's one thing. But if you think you have to do it to get where you're going, that's a completely different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine everything is like the gestation process of a pregnancy, is that what comes up, it's all part of the process. It's all for you. It's all part of this process because you have to change. You have to change so the baby can be born.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so you have to change to become the version of you that manifests your desires. Now, if your desires aren't something in your head, if they're not something you think you want, then you can just allow what happens and say, this is part of the cultivation of the new me, the me that's ready for such big things I can't even imagine it, right?
Right.
This is part of that journey. And most of that journey will be delightful because most of your beliefs are beneficial. And some bump up against something. You bump up against someone who thinks you're weird. You bump up against someone who thinks that your new approach to life doesn't make any sense. And then that will just harken back to a limiting belief. And then you can say, all right, this person is in a different approach to life. This person doesn't know what I know. I'm embarking on a new approach to life, one that is not familiar to most people. And so from their perspective, it's going to look strange. Yet it's only showing up because I think it's strange too. Right?
Right. Right.
Because it isn't what they tell you to do. It's completely opposite of what they tell you to do. It isn't playing it safe. It isn't being small. It isn't protecting yourself. It isn't providing for the future. It's living in this moment in pure acceptance so that what you want manifests in the future, not what you think you want, but what you truly want. And what you truly want is to express your love unconditionally, which means express your acceptance for what is, all the people, all the conditions, without apology.
Okay.
Arnaud.
Hello.
Hello. Right.
I had a question following up on this. And I realize that's by the side, but I always have things popping in my head before the call that matches exactly the introduction that you're doing. Don't know what the odds are, but I just wanted to share that.
47%.
I had it at 44. So.
The odds are 100%. You see, so, you are not separate from us. You're not separate from Gary. You're not separate from anyone here. You're not separate from Joshua. You're not separate from infinite intelligence. You all have the same accent. You are all connected. And so when you are thinking of someone and the phone rings and that person is on the other line, that is not random. That is not lucky or unlucky. That is a connection. That is on purpose. That is how the system works.
Excellent. I was thinking on the subject, I spend a crazy amount of time, not crazy, but I spend a lot of time at the moment just finding my balance every day, just spending a lot of time in the morning, first thing, before I go to bed, to just feel good, to just allow.
And so when we say in your finding your balance, you're finding your alignment, and you're finding that place where you're more likely to be able to accept the conditions.
Yeah. And I at times I feel like I'm hit by these just completely just a feeling of utter bliss. Just the conditions haven't changed, but I just feel completely blissed out for no reason.
The reason is you found your balance and you found your alignment, and the bliss is your natural state of being. And the surprising thing to you is that you're feeling bliss. The surprising thing to us is that you're not blissed out all the time.
Yeah, so my question was, I have a knowing that there is a certain set of conditions or circumstances where I am that blissed out naturally.
Yes.
And I have a knowing that there is these particular set of conditions exists, but that I'm not living it necessarily right now. But that I am okay with where I am right now, that I am on my way, on my path to...
Still
there is. Yeah, there is some resistance.
The idea that there's a place with conditions that allow you to be blissed out all the time, that await you in your future, is the wishing for that to come true, the control. And what we say is give up that. Give up this idea that it's a better place to be where you're blissed out all the time.
Yeah, but what I mean to say is that I'm not trying to control my conditions around to so that I'm not trying to change the conditions so that they provide me with this feeling.
Right.
I'm aware that conditions will change to reach that point, but
yes.
I can't help but think that I have an awareness that my conditions do not match what would be my ultimate set of blissful conditions.
Right.
And I sort of accept it, and perhaps there is some resistance in that, and which is probably the reason why these conditions are what they are.
Imagine this now. You've been living your life in an old approach where you're saying that when this happens and this happens and this happens, then I will be successful and happy. I will be secure and happy. I'll be in love and happy. And what we are saying is that wishing for that to happen is a form of control. Now, you have become able to feel momentary periods of bliss within the current conditions. Yet you still think that as you get better at perceiving the conditions as good and right and accepting them, that you'll be experiencing even more periods of bliss, right? Even if the conditions don't change. And even in that, there's control.
Yeah.
You're saying, in the future, I'll be better. I'll be better able to align myself easier, to come into this balance easier than I have. And I see that I'm doing it now better than I did it before. And so I'm experiencing periods of bliss more now than I did before. And so the logical conclusion is, as I practice, as I do more, as I get better, I'll experience more bliss in the future. And we're saying, even that most logical thinking is still control.
I'm just thinking bliss might come more naturally in the future because...
Yes, but who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? So what we're saying is that the state of existence where you are in today, you would say the moment, but let's say today, where you experience whatever you experience in the day, as you accept that as it is, that's all that matters, without regard to what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, I experienced bliss today, and I experienced resistance today, and I did a great job of balancing today. And today is all that matters, because tomorrow is a completely different life. And you'll live that life with the intention to feel bliss and to experience joy and to accept whatever the conditions are. And then tomorrow is a new life. Just like the intentions you set prior to coming into this life from your non-physical position. You could do the same thing about tomorrow from today, thinking that tomorrow's a new life. And it might look the same to you, just as this life looks very similar to previous lives you had from your non-physical perspective. Do you get that? Do you get that this life that you're living as our no is as similar from your non-physical perspective as the last life you had, and the last life you had, and the last life you had, and those series of lives feel like another life, and those series of other lives feel like even more lives, and it just builds on infinity. You're focused way, 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 way down here. And so that you think that this life you're living is life, is the whole thing. But from the non-physical perspective, way up here, this life is like a day in your life now. It's just like another day. And tomorrow will seem the same as today, just as from your non-physical perspective, the life of Arno seems like another human life. That tomorrow you'll have a set of general intentions. And those intentions are to express love and acceptance, to experience abundance and freedom, and to expand in joy through experience in a state of less resistance than the day before, a state of more love.
Yeah, the thing is that I'm taking pleasure in practicing these things on a daily basis and becoming better at it in a way. I think that's the pleasure is deriving from this.
The joy in the passion project that is Arno, in the creation of the most allowing, accepting, loving version, most authentic version of Arno. Absolutely. And what could be more blissful than that, when that is your passion in life? Your passion is to create this perception of reality so that more joy, bliss, love, freedom, acceptance, and abundance enters it than ever before, with less chaos, less control, less... Isn't it funny that chaos and control are right there? Because in a life of control, you face tremendous amounts of chaos, because everything that goes against your idea of control feels chaotic. In an accepting life, the manifestation events seem like little ripples. It's because you're not trying to control them, you ride with them. You take the information out of them. They're actually meaningful. They're actually interesting. You can actually be curious about them. Wendy?
Hey, Joshua.
Would you like to talk?
I would. I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I feel I have been living very close to that for the last few weeks, and I truly am enjoying it. However, on a Saturday night, my mom transitioned, and that we've been meeting in the physical the last two nights. I definitely met with her in the non-physical, and it's been really cool. I've actually remembered my dreams, so I really enjoyed that. And I'm being as aware as I can, and I'm staying in the moment as possibly can. A lot of manifestation events are popping up, coming and going, and I'm recognizing them, and I'm doing my very best to be allowing and accepting of everybody, including myself and my mom. And I understand that her transition went down. I see it so clearly. And, you know, we've talked about it too in non-physical, that she was in the hospital for exactly 1 month. And she was able to reconcile a relationship with my brother and his family. And then my brothers were able to reconcile their relationship. And then that same brother was able to reconcile his with my dad. So
can
a lot of it came out with
a better transition than that.
I know. I mean, I'm thrilled for the whole situation. And my dad was with her when she passed, which is exactly what he had hoped for. So it all fell in place nicely. And the fact that I know what I know and I'm able to meet with her, it's very liberating and I'm enjoying it. However, I am experiencing emotion of anxiety and I can't understand I can't put my finger on where that is coming from. I just wanted to get your take.
So explain the emotion of anxiety. The anxiety specifically points to a specific limiting belief.
Yeah, I guess it's like things are really changing. I don't know. I can't put a finger on it.
What does anxiety make you feel?
Anxious, like jumpy and out of sorts.
More intense?
Yes.
Less calm?
Yes.
More thoughts going through your head?
A lot of thoughts going through my head.
Worry about the future?
Not too much, but yeah, maybe a little.
Regret about the past?
No. Thanks to Nikki. I had done a tapping session with Nikki just when my mom got, right before my mom got sick, and was able to reconcile a lot of stuff through that, you know, from childhood and whatever, and with my mom, and saw my mom and I coming together as a white light, and that was really liberating. And I'm still drawing on that now, and like before I go to sleep, I think about that. I think that's why, you know, I'm remembering my dreams and everything. So yeah, I don't really have regret about the past.
When you think about your mother and you think about how she feels right now in the non-physical, what emotion comes to you?
Bliss.
She feels bliss.
She feels blessed, right. Yes.
Now, does she feel anxious?
Not at all. She's right. Very, very relieved and calm and
okay.
Thrilled so with, you know.
The juxtaposition between how you know she feels and how you're feeling, what perspective does that give you?
Well, it's definitely not my herself perspective.
It's
a limited perspective.
The perspective of the human.
Yes.
With a limited perspective of not knowing what your mother now knows. That there is nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing bad that can happen to you. That the
right.
whole idea of anxiety has to come from a human perspective. Animals aren't anxious.
Yeah.
Unless they're pets. But
yeah, pets.
Animals in the wild
pets get anxious. Yes. Right. Right.
And so the anxiety shows you how you're being as a human trying to control conditions. Now, see, you wouldn't feel anxiety if you weren't trying to control conditions, because the anxiety points to the fact of control, of if this was different, then I would feel ease. And your mother is showing you that ease is your natural state of being. Ease is a natural state of being for all animals. It's the human who projects into the future, projects in the past, is concerned about others, is worried how they're perceived, all these things, right? And in this anxiety is the inability to control anything outside of you. And so when people have panic attacks, they're anxious because they can't control anything. And they realize it in their body. And it comes to the form, the emotion of anxiety. And so if you had no need to control anything, if you were a baby without control, you couldn't feel anxious. You could feel hungry and you could feel uncomfortable, but you couldn't feel anxious. The anxiety only comes from the inability to control. And so, so do what your mother's doing. Relax, feel blissed out, be in ease. Yeah. See, in ease, well, you're in alignment. And in this idea of alignment, you are representing how you would be in the non-physical while in physical. And so sometimes you can only maintain alignment for a short time. If you were living in the new approach to life fully, you'd be in alignment the vast majority of the time, because you would give up your need to be right about anything. You'd give up your need to actually manifest anything you think you want. You would give up your persona.
Right.
You wouldn't need a persona anymore. And your ego wouldn't come forth and protect a persona, because that persona is a representation of who you think you should be in order to control everything. I think I should be intelligent, loving, caring, concerned, smart, earn money, all this stuff, right? So that I can get love from others. In the new approach to life, you say, I need not get love from others. I am here to do, let's just say, five things. Express my love and acceptance. Experience joy and abundance. Or experience freedom and abundance. And expand in joy. That's it. Anything else is gravy. Anything else is gravy. And so, in this idea of a persona, of trying to control everything, of making sure things go right, then you have anxiety, because what if they don't go right? What if you can't control? What if things don't turn out right?
I don't think I'm controlling as much. I think it's more of, I have been like, I went on a trip for 2 weeks while she was sick, and then I went out of town for Thanksgiving while she was sick, and I'm not following the status quo of the family.
And what will a family think? And you want to
exactly. And I don't want to control any of it. It's like out of control.
And your
anxiety
is based in control. And the control is, you want them to think of you in a way so you don't have to answer to them. You don't have to have manifestation events with them. You don't have to defend yourself to them. You don't have to defend your persona to them. You see? Right.
Right.
And so now your persona is love child who speaks with animals.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And you don't want to have to defend that, like, because that's who you are. Yeah. That's authentic.
And then I spoke with mom, and they're like, you did what? You know?
List out love child who speaks with animals and mothers.
Yeah. Right?
You don't have to want to defend that, because that's authentic. And if and this limiting belief says that I could lose them, their love, if they think I'm too weird. So I want to try to not be too weird, but I still want to be authentic.
Right.
Yeah. And what you will find is that the more authentic you are, the easier they'll have being around you. Because in authenticity, you totally love and accept them. And if they don't get you, guess what? You love them anyway.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's the new approach to life. You still got one foot in the old approach to life, because you still want to control the flow of love coming to you, right? Because you have the fear of loss, which is an irrational fear, because this life of Wendy is that. And you can't lose them. You cannot lose them. And you will know that fully, as your mother knows it now. She is closer to you now and to all the family now than she ever was as a human.
Right.
Because in a human, she had fear of losing love. And so she could, that fear interfered with her ability to express love. Mm-hmm. Right? Because expressing love is dangerous. What if it's not returned?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're grown up believing if you're good, you get love. If you're bad, you don't get love. And so you must be good. You must be good. You must be good. And if they perceive that what you didn't do was not good, you should have been here, you should have done that, you should have been differently. Now, this is all coming within you and you're projecting on them.
Right, right. Yeah, I got that last night. Yep, I got that big time last night. Wow, what a mirror. Yeah.
And this will pass, right?
Yeah.
A year from now, you look back and you go, yeah, that wasn't a big deal. That wasn't a big deal. But your perspective in this moment is more limited and more intense. And it seems bigger than it is.
Okay. Good. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
So if you give up control of how they think of you, then they won't think anything.
Okay. Yeah. Easy.
Would anyone else like to talk? We can't wait to hear from anyone.
I'll speak.
Yes.
Thank you for allowing me to come onto this call. It's wonderful.
Thank you for being here, Tina.
My heart is pumping. It's wonderful. I have a few questions. The first one maybe would be about expansion specifically in terms of, like, we kind of all seem to be going through similar things. Everybody in the world kind of is. And so in terms of expansion, I want to talk about, is it the thought that creates the expansion? Is it the emotion that creates the expansion? And why, like, yes, I understand why we're here to experience joy and all that, but why? Take it to that next level.
This is the journey of self-discovery. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all this is. You're here to discover who you are. Who are you?
Right.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm just like everybody else. I'm a being who's trying to experience joy in this world. And
but who are you here to discover that you are? We'll tell you who you are. Do you know who you are? You are a source.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're a strand of source coming to live a physical life to understand that you're a source.
Okay.
And as you understand your source more and more and in different ways in each life and each day and each moment, you expand.
Yeah.
You expand your idea of what it means to be source and what it means to not be source. What it means to live abundantly and what it means not to live in lack. What it means to be loved and what it means to express love. All these different aspects of it. But you see, you've done that already. You've found your way here. And now you can explore who you are as an aspect of source in any way you want to do it. So you've come to physical reality, you've sifted and sorted, you've played around with all kinds of different experiences, you've expanded through each of those experiences. One expansion is not better or more significant than another. It's all equal and it's all unique. You see, every single expansive moment you've had in your life, or experience, we'll say, has been unique. No one else has ever had that experience, ever. No one has ever had that experience from your perspective because you have never existed before. And so as Source expressed as Tina, you explore who Source is more uniquely or uniquely in a unique way, right? Not more or less uniquely, it's all equally unique. But without your discovery of Source from your perspective as Tina, well, then the whole vision of Source is less than it is. And so you can expand through any experience and have a unique idea of what it is to be human and Source at the same time. And so that's what, that's who you are. You're a source. You don't believe it, or you believe it to some extent. And as you are led to this information and you're led to other teachers, you see different possibilities. and different ways to expand and different ways to explore and different ways to be and different ways to experience this life in physical reality, exploring what it means to be a strand of source, feeling unique from source. You see, it wouldn't work if you came in completely with the knowledge that you are a source. It would work. It wouldn't be the same thing, though, right? If you're coming in as an individual who believes they have a finite existence and has to survive, well, that's one interesting way to explore what it means to be source. Because when you transition to non-physical, you'll say, oh, look at that. Was that interesting? What it's like not to know that you're source. Now, here's another exploration that's starting to happen now. Those coming in understand that they are source, that they can live any life they want. What a fascinating discovery or exploration. Mm-hmm. So that when those people transition, they say, yes, it's interesting to have this unique individualistic perspective on what it means to be a strand of source. And those people live lives that are a bit less limited, but exactly as expansive, because the expansiveness comes in their perspective. And it's not just the perspective of Tina over a lifetime. It's a perspective of Tina in every single experience.
Right.
Infinite experiences every day. The experience of this. So as a result of this, you'll expand. And what that means is you'll have another perspective in regards to who you are as you are part of Source. Who are you now as part of Source? Who were you before as part of Source? And so physical reality allows for infinite perspectives. There's space, time, and individuality or uniqueness. So everything in physical reality is unique. No one's ever lived life like you're living. No one will ever. And no one's had the perspective of you living this life other than you in the couch where you're sitting right now and in this time on Earth right now. And as you move off that couch and as a minute goes by, you're going to have another experience, another perspective. Even if it doesn't register because it seems like this is one flow of a life, it's actually a series of infinite moments that capture infinite perspectives that add to the scrapbook of what it is to be source. It's the source scrapbook collected by infinite consciousness in infinite moments over infinity. They'll never be done, will it? Because source is evolving. Source is becoming more. Source is expanding with the expansion of you and your source. So what does that mean to you as Tina living a physical life? It means you can relax. Because there's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to do. You don't have to be successful. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be lovable. All you have to do is express your love unconditionally to others and to the conditions as they are. All you have to do is live in complete acceptance of what is. All you have to do is realize that this is just a flowing experience that is as valuable as any other. All you have to do is realize that you have preferences. And if you would like to manifest those preferences, well, don't think about too much. Just think about accepting what is in the moment and then choosing to see a new perspective every time you feel a bit of fear, because the fear is just telling you that you have a limiting belief in this regard. And if you could look at it from another perspective, then you can see it differently. Gary had intense headache this weekend, which is very unusual for him. And so it was interesting because it came up right as they were about to do the roundtable podcast. And in that podcast, he was able to talk about the resistance that was coming forth in his bodily manifestation. And it was an unwanted one, yet it showed him a new perspective. And from that experience, his new perspective was that he was grieving for the life that he had left behind. Mm-hmm. And even though the life he is living now is wonderful and abundant and moving in this direction that he considers fantastic and things are going well, there's still a part of him that holds on to this belief that he lost what was back there and that he didn't properly grieve over it, and that was coming forth in this manifestation of this headache. And so he said, okay, I have the headache, and okay, I see a new perspective. And as soon as he got the new perspective, the headache was gone. And he knew the headache would go when it was ready to go. And so it did. And so that's an example of a manifestation event that was tied to a physical condition. It's still part and parcel of the process to expand to the version of you, or create a vibrational version of you that is ready for the life you intend to live to blossom forth through you.
Right.
All of it is part of it. And you can either go with the flow of it in acceptance or resist whatever you want to resist. Right. So we say resist less and less and less and less and less and accept more and more and more. How can you accept more? How can I accept this situation? How could there be good in that situation? How could this be okay? How could this not be wrong? Yeah. If you live a life saying, there is no wrong, and I will see the right in everything, then you live a more accepting life. You live with less fear. Life feels better to you. And life provides you with the inspiration to move forward. Now, we ask you this question. Are you moving forward in life when you're receiving inspiration, or are you limited by fear?
I do both.
Yeah, you do both. You do some of both, yeah. Right? And so when you're limited by fear, you just stall the process, not of expansion, but of the unfolding of that version of you that you intended to be. And you don't really care. You don't really care. It's all part of the process. However, we're saying to you that if you've made your way to this information now, that you can live a life beyond your wildest imagination as soon as you stop resisting, as soon as you stop accepting, as soon as you stop saying, no, I could never do that. No, I can't do that. No, that's... As soon as you stop putting up your own limitations, then you can live a life that will feel very free to you and very expansive and very wonderful.
Sweet.
Excellent.
And I think that I hold... So, you know, you talk about Gary having the pain, and they were kind of immediate. I have this chronic pain in my shoulders, my fingers, my back, and that's a resistance. And I'm always trying to go, okay, well, so where's that coming from? And what is the belief that, because I...
The belief is you should be different than you are.
Yeah.
That's simply it. You should be different. You should be different than you are. No, you should be exactly like you are. You're magnificent. Yeah. You're source. You chose this. You chose that body. You chose this trajectory. Yeah. You chose to be here now. You intended for all this. You know, you intended for every aspect of this. So there is no wrong in the past. There's no wrong in your body now. There's no wrong in your future. Everything is fine. You might want, and it's more difficult, we understand that with a physical unwanted manifestation, conditions to be different. And you say, when the conditions are better, I'll feel better. And we say to you very seriously, when you feel better, your body will find well-being. Now, when we say your body will find well-being, we say, when you accept your body as it is right now, you will be in alignment. In that alignment, you will receive inspiration. The inspiration might be, talk to this friend, Google this, try this diet, meet this person, blah, 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 which will lead, if you allow it, step by step by step, to your body returning to well-being. Now, we're not saying that your body's not in well-being now. We're saying your perception of your body is not in well-being, right?
Right. Yeah.
It is possible that your body is perfect, functioning perfect, yet there is an idea in your head that things should be different, because there's that idea stems from you thinking you should be different, chronically thinking that thought, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for one more person if anyone wants to jump on. If you want to jump on now.
Hi, Joshua. It's Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Thank you so much. I, when you first started talking about control and like basically detaching from all, letting go of all attachment to all these things that we get attached to in the human experience, my first thought was, you're not physical. You're not in a physical body. So, you know, that's just crazy. I know it's true, though. I have a knowing that it's true. I did want to talk about something that probably is related to control. But here's the thing. You know, you said to somebody in a year's time, maybe it was Wendy, in a year's time, you're going to feel totally differently. So I've been doing the Joshua teachings a year and a half, and I feel like my life and who I am has completely changed. However, there's this one area where I have seen progress. It's that story about longing. And, you know, I think it's linked to like abandonment stuff when I was a kid. But, you know, it's so deeply embedded in me that it does send me to places. It requires immense alignment work. And I was just thinking, is it possible that we come into these lifetimes sometimes with these sort of karmic explorations? Is it all based on this lifetime? And, you know, will I ever get to a place where I feel free around that?
Yes, you'll be getting to a place when you choose to fully adopt the new approach to life or when you transition. Either way, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Not karmic, we say intention. It was an intention to explore that which cannot be explored in the non-physical. And since you are a master, an ascended master of exploration, you knew that you could handle it. You knew that it would be fulfilling. You knew that it would be satisfying. You knew that the process to go from where you were to where you are to where you'll go, it'll be a satisfying journey. You'll do it, be challenging. You knew all these things. You knew you would be confused. You knew you would seek clarity. You knew that you would set up your own limitations. The limitation that you can't do it. The limitation that you're human. Of course you can't do it. The limitation of you've been in this momentum building trajectory for a long time. And that it's not possible to change. And we say, not only is it possible, it's inevitable. And that the depth of your feelings, the depth of your negative emotion, is tied to the intensity of that limiting belief that you need to be whole, that you're not whole, that you need to be loved, that you need that you need the conditions to be in a certain way so that you feel loved, right? That the trajectory that caused you to feel this way is too strong to overcome. These are all limiting beliefs, right? Just like any other limiting belief. Right? Yeah. And you can chip away at the intensity of those beliefs. But simultaneously to that, you're embracing information that we're telling you. You're understanding who you truly are. You're realizing that you're limitless and magnificent and a being of love. You're accepting in so many areas of your life. You're feeling better in other areas of your life, right? And so, as you feel better, the intensity of your negative emotion becomes even more intense. And so that higher intensity makes it feel like you haven't gone anywhere. Because what you're saying is, if I've improved, I shouldn't feel intense negative emotion. In fact, it should be less intense than it is right now.
You know what? This morning I laid on the floor and I just let out like this incredible wail. And I cried for like 15 minutes because I kind of had been putting off crying like all weekend. And it was like, I just have to let it out. I think I have to feel it until I get, is there a bottom? Just tell me, is there a bottom?
Did you find the bottom in the release of crying?
I felt better.
You had to say, okay, enough is enough. I can't cry for 2 years.
True. Yeah.
So enough is enough. I know more now. I've let it out. I'm not going to linger in the negative emotion. Yeah. I understand how wonderful this life is and how well I'm doing and how abundant I am and how I get to explore whatever I choose to explore, yet you feel the loss of the life that you had before, just like Gary does. You feel the loss of that life. And luckily for you, you're dealing with that emotionally, as opposed to Gary, who's trying to make light of it, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't have to suffer the headaches that he had or some other unwanted physical condition. You process that. And in the crying of it, you said, okay, we're on. We're on to the next thing. We've done the crying. Let's move on. So you can hold on to as much resistance and control as you like. But because you know too much now, there's no really way to go back. So every time you feel that longing for being in a place that you perceive that you're not, you're going to have to say to yourself, okay, that's just a limiting belief. That just isn't who I truly am. That's just applied limitation. That's just fear thinking the conditions should be different than they are. That I'll feel better if the subject of my longing manifests in my reality. And we're saying, as long as you're holding on to this idea that you'll feel better when the subject of your longing comes on, you're going to keep exploring that idea of longing. Because the end point of that exploration is the realization that nothing exists outside of you, that you are a source, that nothing can make you feel anything you don't feel anyway.
I know that. And so I do that crazy eight thing where I go to that place, my ego takes me there, where if things were only different, and then I'm like, present moment, look at how everything's great and appreciate what is, and I'll get back into alignment, but I'll go back there.
Yeah.
And it's really a yo-yo.
Yeah, it's a yo-yo that you get to play with.
I thought, but you know, it could be more fun. I thought I was going to have more fun. This is a year and a half down the road. I just feel like I'm in the muck of it right now.
Well, you are in the muck of it right now. You're in the labor pains of it right now, aren't you?
Yeah. So I'm going to be birthing something incredible.
Well, yeah, because it's a year and a half is like an elephant gestation period. So imagine a baby elephant that you're going to birth. Right? Yeah. So it's all part of that birthing process, becoming the new you. Becoming the you that no longer needs to be proven worthy.
Yeah.
By others, right?
Yeah.
Because if you have to be proven, this is for everyone, if you have to be proven worthy by others, the second they don't show their approval, you fly off into fear. You fly off into fear. And in that fear, you receive urges to change the conditions, to make them wrong, to make them change how they're being. You should be different than you are so that I don't feel the fear of unworthiness. I got you into my life so that you can make me feel worthy. You're not doing your job. So change, change. I need to control every aspect of you and of myself. I need to be different than who I am so I can manipulate you into you showing me that I'm worthy. You see how that works, right?
Of course.
It's a game you play. It's a game you learned. You all learn the same game.
But
you all use it to some extent.
But Joshua, everybody's a mirror. So if I'm in a relationship where I'm dependent on that person's love or expression of love to feel worthy, I've attracted him into my life so that I could actually realize I'm worthy with or without him.
Absolutely, 100%. So at some point, you can realize that he can't make you feel worthy. You're either choosing to feel worthy in his presence or using him as an example of how unworthy you are. Right? And so you could feel worthy in times. You could feel loved in times. And then in other times, you would use his behavior as proof that you're not worthy. So you would use him as proof that you were worthy and as proof that you weren't worthy. And you could do that with everyone. Not just with him, but everyone.
Yeah, might as well just flip a coin.
Depending on how you choose to perceive it. right? So it's ultimately up to your own perception. Yeah.
Yes.
But you were taught the old approach of life. You said, if I'm good, then I'll be, someone will show me that they love me if I'm good, right? And so I better be good. I better be good. And then when they don't show you they love you, and you say, I've been good, yet they're not showing me that they love me, it's got to be something else. It's got to be my drinking problem. It's got to be my weight. It's got to be my looks. It's got to be my intelligence. It's got to be this and this and this and this and this. So I better solve those problems or not, or use those problems as an excuse, either way, right?
Right.
If only I was this way, then he would love me. If only he was this way.
Yeah, that's more like it. If only he were a certain way.
If only he were a certain way, then he'd love me. Right.
Yeah.
Right. It must be his problem he doesn't love me. All kinds of things like that. You get the general idea.
I do.
Well, we have enjoyed this conversation. It's the most leading conversation that we've ever had. And we've had a lot. And we are excited to see where this is going and to see where you're all going. And we hope that you can accept us as we accept you, because when you do, we'll finally feel good. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.